Welcome to Shakespeare FC, The Words, a five-minute journey into the individual bits of language that were forged, fletched, hewn, and hammered, and sometimes crowbarred, into existence by our brilliant and witty Warwickshirean wordsmith, or, as you become more familiar, Uncle Will. I'm your host, Kari Marshall. Today we head to Italy, to Padua, specifically, for a comic tale of love, of sorts. Well, actually, probably more accurately described as a lust power struggle story that involves some rather dubious exploits, or even more accurately, cruelty. And less a comedy, as a troubling tale of misogyny and humiliation, with some comic shenanigans, of course. Oh, how I look forward to our little chats. Well, actually, I'm the one who's talking and you're just listening, so it's not really a conversation, is it? If you haven't guessed by now, today we explore the annoying world of the pedant. Annoying, you say? Yes. Just ask my nephew when he orders an espresso in my company. So, back to Luigi Butsera's home. If you haven't put two and two together, he invented said drink of the gods, but that was technically in Milan, so we'll travel westward some 150 miles to the setting of Uncle Will's The Taming of the Shrew. And if you really want to get specific, it's 152.48449 miles, but that's just pedantic. Anyway, in William's taming tale, we are thrust into a theatrical whirlwind of matrimonial machinations and gender politics. Petruchio, our audacious and arrogant suitor, sets his sights on the fiery Caterina, the titular shrew, while her more demure and vastly less bad-tempered sister Bianca remains the belle of the ball and the envy of several suitors. The plot thickens as Lucentio, a bumbling yet earnest young gentleman, employs disguises and deceptions to woo Bianca, setting up a farce within a farce subplot. And that is where we find ourselves in Act 3. Uncle Will begins his wooing by subterfuge plot as Lucentio and Hortensio decide to disguise themselves as humble tutors to vie for Bianca's attention under the pretext of educating her.
Fiddler, forbear! You grow too forward, sir. Have you so soon forgot the entertainment her sister Catherine welcomed you with all?
But, wrangling pedant, this is the patroness of heavenly harmony.
Uncle Will uses it a second time in Act 4.
Master, a mercatante or a pedant, I know not what.
William would go on to use perhaps my favorite iteration of it in Love's Labour's Lost, pedantical. But staying in Italy, the word pedant came to Uncle Will from the ancient Greek by way of Latin and through Middle French. Pedagogos, which combines pais, meaning child, and agogos, meaning leader or guide. These referred to slaves who either led children to school or were responsible for their education. The Italians then used paedagogus to refer to an instructor or tutor, and this shifted into pedante for teacher. But it was the French that took the word pedant and gave it its negative connotation, of one who is not necessarily a teacher, but is overly concerned with small, trivial details, and who can be showy or arrogant in their knowledge. So, there you have it. We have together collectively stemmed the tide of stupidity, meaning no one could ever call us a bunch of not ignoramai, it's ignoramuses, from the Latin we are ignorant, making it a verb, not a noun. So, take that to your next party and tell whoever you want. Wait, whomever. Well, alas and alack, my friends, that is all we have time for. Join us again next time for another hopefully informative journey into the mind of Uncle William. I'm Kari Marshall. Farewell until next time.
Shakespeare FC is a production of WGTE Public Media and is sponsored in part by a generous donation from the Cowie Family Fund. All previous episodes are available at wgte.org/sfc or wherever you get your podcasts.